So that idea of heaven is being God's space. And earth, right now, is our space. Our space that has been corrupted by sin. But God's goal in redeeming is bringing those two spaces back together as they always were. And so, as they were always intended to be. And so we see in the last couple chapters of Revelation when Jesus is revealing how all this plays out in the end. He talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And there's this image of heaven coming down and like blanketing the earth. So we have to remember that his goal isn't just to redeem humanity, it's to redeem everything that has been lost. We read in Romans that the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. So for the fall to be fully reversed, all of creation must come back under God's reign. And this is the full coming of the kingdom of heaven. And so this is the picture that we see biblically, that at the end, it's not just all of the saints sitting on clouds playing harps or floating through some spiritual realm. It's that the earth itself is made new. And this is a place that is characterized in Revelation 21 as being the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them as their God. It goes on to say that this new creation is a place with no more death, mourning, crying, or pain because those things have passed away. It uses wedding imagery to talk about these things coming together, and which goes all the way back to Jesus himself using parables about wedding feasts to describe the coming of the kingdom. It's a marriage of God in his pure heavenly realm and humanity and our earthly realm coming together. The church is even described as the bride of the Lamb. It's also interesting that it says there is no temple in this new city because God himself is physically present. What we do see, though, is the appearance of the tree of life. Do you remember the tree of life? Back in Genesis 2, the tree of life was the one that Adam and Eve were removed from Eden for because God didn't want them eating from it once they had been corrupted. So it's been inaccessible to humanity all this time, and now here we have this picture of this new garden city and the trees right there in the middle of it. And it's accessible, and it bears fruit every month of the year, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Now, I don't necessarily know what that means, but it's a good picture. It shows that God is restoring. And so in light of all of this, I think it makes a whole lot of sense. If God's ultimate goal is to create the earth anew to where he can dwell in it again, just as he did in the garden, it makes a whole lot of sense that our ultimate hope is a physical resurrection, because we're going to be living in a physical world. And, you know, supposedly the lion and the lamb are going to eat together. And I think my wife is going to be the first one to run over and pet them. But it's this picture of the imagery at the end of Revelation is shockingly similar to the imagery at the beginning of Genesis. And that's very intentional, because God's whole plan is to bring it back and redeem it all. So, how does that compare with how you normally think of eternity? Is that a surprise? Is it how you typically see it? Are there things there that maybe you're aware of but you don't tend to think about because our culture leans us toward clouds and harps and music that I don't think anyone would really want to sing for all eternity. Right?
Like, I see the us being created in the image of God and God's mandate to us to subdue the earth, and whenever we do anything creative or build anything, it is exercising that image of God that's put in us. So to me, eternity can't be sitting around.
Right.
It just can't. There's going to be stuff to do.
Yeah. And, you know, the Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4 tell us that God's people are going to reign with him. So we have an active role in whatever it is that happens in the new creation. So I think we have a lot more to look forward to than we sometimes think we do. So the last question, because I feel like we need to address this, because this is the question everyone wants to know. Well, when's it going to happen? To which I refer you to the words of Jesus. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Maybe it's a cop-out. I mean, if you want to take the word of the guys on TV or standing on the street corner, go for it. But again, we get caught up in the temporal things, right? We want to know, where are we going to be? When are we going to be there? When's it all going to happen? And God's picture is so much bigger. So I recognize we are already 5 minutes past our time, and we were supposed to have time to just talk about general things tonight, and I apologize because that didn't happen. I don't want to hold anyone here any longer than necessary, but I hope a couple things I want to leave you with. One, with regards to eschatology specifically, I don't know if you consider these things essential to your faith or not, but throughout the history of the church, they're a core part of what we believe. If you look back at the creeds, there's statements in there about what we as a church believe will happen at the end, and it involves Jesus' return and judgment and all of those things. I also think that we can gain something about how to live now from what we believe will happen in the future. And just to refer back to the video, I think one of the things that we can take from that is that imagery of Jesus establishing pockets of heaven in earth. He's not doing that in places, he's doing that in people. So we are here as his agents. Paul uses the term ambassadors. Again, Jesus said that the kingdom had already come, or had begun to come at least, with his initial presence. And so he passes it on to us, and now we are actively a part of passing that kingdom on to others. So what we believe about where everything is going, I think, has a significant impact on what we do now, because we are part of bringing that ultimate kingdom to earth. We have a role to play even now. With regards to the series as a whole, I hope it's been informative. I hope it's been encouraging in some ways and not just completely confusing. You know, I think I said this on the very first night. We come to a place where I don't know is a perfectly valid theological position. You know, and I think the more we look into this stuff, the more we, yes, want to be able to affirm what we know to be true and why we know it's true because of what God has revealed to us. But there are other things we recognize are not essential, which again was kind of the underlying point of this, is helping us to see what's really essential to what we believe and what isn't. There is a quote I read looking through some materials for tonight that talked about not being concerned about the furniture of heaven and the temperature of hell. Because that's not the point, right? So what is the point? And that's something that I hope we've all been able to wrestle with together while we've been here and come out of it with some new insights. So any lasting thoughts or questions? Yeah, Pat.
Just that we need to help build the kingdom.
Yeah. We do.
One thing you said was come away with new insights. We don't always have new insights. Kind of like lifting weights. You're doing the same thing, you're repeating it over and over again. You have a set part and
true.
Set
parts. Yeah.
Versus always having to discover something new.
Right.
So it does really, the whole series to me is really reaffirmed and helped me, you know, relearn things again and again. Repetition of it.
Good. Good. And that's a good point too, because yeah, we do sometimes, I mean, we like to learn new things, right. But you know, these are the types of things we never want to leave behind us. You know, the basics of our faith, we don't, you know, we never graduate beyond those. So, yeah. Yeah, Mary.
When I was younger, I can remember, like, thinking that hell was a definite place that I was just going to go to. Because I was like, do this and this, you're going to go to hell.
Right.
This and this, you're going to go to hell. And, from my understanding now, from like, you know, learning a lot of this church and learning a lot of this from the past few years, it's like heaven is a place and it is going to be forever. It's like my, what I've always thought was like heaven's going to kind of like eclipse the earth and not that far. I was like,
right.
It's like to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that picture of eclipsing like that. I think that has some good imagery with it. And again, I think like the resurrection bodies, there's gonna be things that are recognizable that are the same, but they're also gonna be, I mean, it's gonna be totally different and the same at the same time. You know, that just seems to be so much of what we see in God, that things that we feel should be at tension with one another, but somehow coexist. So, yeah, Karen.
I would just like to thank you and Steve for your efforts for us, and it was a really good series, and I'm sure it helped a lot of us, and if not tonight, you'll catch up with us in a few days from now.
Right. It's a lot to digest, for sure. Yeah.
But thank you so much for your effort. It was a really good course.
You're welcome. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think Steve did as well. I think Julie and Terry did too. And yeah. Yeah.
We want to learn more.
Good.
Yeah. That's what good. I feel like I need to learn more.
Good. That's a good thing. Awesome. I want to leave you with one last quote. Because I don't know, quotes are good to sum things up, right? The exact origins of this quote are unknown. There are some within our Church of the Nazarene denomination that point it back to Phineas Brzee, who was the kind of founder of our denomination. But historically, people can point back farther. Some say it goes all the way back to Augustine. And this is all history that no one cares about, but I still find interesting. sorry. This is the quote. So we've been talking about essential beliefs, right? I think this is a good perspective for us to maintain, especially as we live within a diverse body of God's people. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. As people who are a part of bringing God's kingdom to earth, I think this is a good place for us to take a stance. God, we come to you in humility, recognizing after conversations like this that there is so much more that we don't understand than that we do. But we thank you that you have revealed to us exactly what we need to know, and you reveal it to us when we need to know it. And so some of these things we may grab onto tonight, some of these things may just be seeds that are sown and continued cultivation that happens as we follow you in our journey of faith. But Lord, your word tells us that it doesn't return to you empty. So I pray tonight that our hearts can receive your word and your truth in whatever way you want to work it in our lives, and that we can go from this place filled with a hope for eternity, a hope for the good plans that you have to redeem not only us as individuals or even us as a body of people, but all of creation. I pray that you would fill us with a passion and the ability and the courage to be ambassadors for your kingdom and do the work that you have called us to build those pockets of heaven here on earth as we wait for the fulfillment of all that you have to come. God, we thank you that this life is not the end. We thank you for the hope that we will see you face to face one day, and in that time, we will know fully, even as we are now fully known. God, I thank you for all the saints who have gone before to pass this information on faithfully so that we can come to it and learn it and apply it and live it out now. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit that continues to dwell within us and among us, to move us into new understanding and new action based on this truth. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who is at the center of our belief, our ability to know you, to come to you, to be cleansed of all of our sin and unrighteousness, to have the hope of new birth and new life and new resurrection bodies and all that is to come. And I pray that as we go from this place as your people, that the kingdom of heaven and the gospel of Jesus would be spread and your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the one who died and rose to give us the hope of eternity that all of this is possible, we pray. Amen.